In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We know a few things about St. Mary Magdalene. One, Magdalene is not her last name, but she is from the town of Magdala, which is near Capernaum in the north part by the Sea of Galilee. Jesus drove out seven demons from her. We're not told specifically how he did this. It's a parenthetical statement in Mark's gospel account, only that Jesus had accomplished this. She followed Jesus throughout his ministry, not simply to learn from him and to be with him, but to take care of his earthly needs, along with the 12 disciples. There were other women who did the same. She was also a witness at the crucifixion and saw the place where Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus laid our Lord. And she was the very first one to see the risen Lord on Easter morning. Remember how she thought he was the gardener. St. Luke doesn't identify this woman as Mary Magdalene in our gospel account, but the church traditionally has. Whether she is or isn't, we're not sure. And I don't think it matters all that much. The two women do share some commonalities. Both love the Lord. Both weep before him. The woman weeping to moisten his feet, and Mary weeping at the tomb, not knowing where they had taken her Lord. Both serve Jesus. The woman with ointment, Mary Magdalene with her service throughout his earthly life. She was forgiven, and Mary Magdalene was set free, not from her sin, or not only from her sin, but from those seven demons who possessed her. Oppression by seven demons is no accident. Our Lord states that when a demon goes out of a man, he goes and finds seven other demons more wicked than itself, and they come back in and take up residence in that person, and his condition is worse than the first. So Mary Magdalene was in deep trouble. It was not simply one demon that made her mute or deaf, but it was seven who oppressed her, seven who abused her, seven who mistreated her, who dwelt in her, controlled her, and hated her. Her condition was helpless. Her condition was hopeless. She had fallen from the faith of her fathers, and the demons were quick to enter her heart, to destroy her further. Physical demon possession can still happen today. Even though we may not see it in our society, it still does happen. Talk to some missionaries in third world countries. They still seem to be active where superstition reigns. But as terrifying as that may be, I think spiritual demon possession is far more terrifying. Physical possession lasts only for a time. Spiritual possession can last and lead to eternity. So as the week has 7 days, so seven evil spirits want you to live focused on this world. Satan doesn't care if you work hard, are honest, kind, and good at your job. He doesn't want you to be connected to Christ. He doesn't want your mind set on heavenly things and wants to pull you back down to this earth. A place of the curse, a place of suffering, a place of pain, a place of fallen man. He hates God, and so he hates the image of God. And yet man thinks he's free. He doesn't sense this spiritual possession because he can move to and fro wherever he chooses. He can vote however he wants. He can choose whatever job he would like. And he makes these decisions so he is blinded to his own spiritual oppression. All the unregenerate are stuck in a seven-day cycle. Some indulge in sin. Some commit great atrocities that even subsequent people in history look back on and shake their heads. Some, however, do want honor and fame and prestige, and still others want virtue. But all are stuck in the dominion of the devil. All are in spiritual possession of the devil. Their will is bound to Satan's. Their desire is what Satan desires. They substitute the truth of God's word for a lie, and they order their life by that lie. Again, it's more obviously seen in some more than others, but it's true of all who do not have faith in Christ. They are blinded to their bondage. They are not free, but they are slaves. They do not love God, but they love mammon. They are not flourishing, even if they are multimillionaires with the house on top of the hill. They are not flourishing, but they are oppressed in bondage, furthering the devil's lies. Unregenerate man cannot free himself any more than St. Mary Magdalene could free herself from these seven demons. And this was our natural state. We were conceived in sin, born in sin. We were not born neutral or even a child of God, but we were of the devil. He was our master, and we too sought to further his lies. We were no different than any other man who has ever been born, no different from any man who will be born. All born in the natural way are enslaved to sin, Satan, and death. Satan promised that she could be like God, but he tormented her even as he does all sinners. Like a woman who thinks that exposing herself is somehow empowering, like an addict who thinks he has full control of his addiction, so sinners think that they are free. If we could just work harder, if we could just make the right decision, if we could just elect the right person or move to the right place or do the right thing, then we could end climate change, then we could end world hunger, then we could end poverty, then we could end whatever we suffer and struggle with. But year after year, generation after generation, the 7 days roll on. Satan is the ruler of this fallen world. Fallen man does not see his captor. He does not love his redeemer. He is bound in a web of lies, deceits, and falsehoods. Eve was seduced, Mary was possessed, and unregenerate man is bound. And so Christ came to undo the devil's work. Christ came to drive out seven demons from Mary. Christ came to forgive the sinner. Tears of love wet the feet soaked in his own redeeming blood, tears of love at our Lord's grave. He set her free. He renewed her life. He gave her meaning and purpose. He forgave her sin. No longer was she in sinful bondage to the devil, but she followed the Lord wherever he went and ministered to his needs, taking care of whatever he needed. She cared for him from her own means, for she loved him, and he who is forgiven much loves much. She even followed him to the cross and to the grave, but then everything changed 3 days later. When she recognized it was her Lord, she clasped his feet, and Jesus responded, "Do not cling to me. For I have not yet ascended to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father." Everything changed on Easter. God is now her God because of Christ. God is now her Father, who will care for her in Jesus' absence. God had set her free from the 7-day week. God had set her free from the devil and his torments, because God who died now lives, so that forgiveness and life might be proclaimed to every nation. Your sins are forgiven. Christ comes today to cast out demons. Christ comes today to destroy the work of the devil in word and sacraments. Christ comes to break Satan's hold. Christ comes to set man free. So he crushed the devil's head by his blood-soaked heel. Sin is paid for, and where sin is forgiven, there the devil must be driven away. Depart, you unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ, the crucified. What he did for Mary Magdalene, so he has done for every Christian. In water, he set you free. In water, he cast out your spiritual oppressors. In water, he destroyed the devil's work. In water, he broke the devil's hold. In water, he forgave you all your sins. The 7 days are done, for you have entered into the 8th day, the day of resurrection, a day of life, a day that will have no end. You live in the eternal Easter, for Christ lives. Not so that Satan may come back, but Christ lives so that you might be free today, tomorrow, and forever. You are regenerate, born again in water and the Spirit to live for Christ. You are free. You are free from having to work your way into God's favor, for God is your God and Jesus is your Father. Everything has changed for you the moment that water and the Word touched your head. Everything is new and different. Everything is fresh and beautiful, for in Christ you are free. No more wandering around aimlessly, no more wondering what your purpose is in life, no more spinning your wheels day after day, week after week. Like Mary, you now are dedicated to serving Christ by serving one another. Everything has changed. Christ has died and your sins are forgiven. Christ is risen and you have life, a baptismal life that shall have no end. How beautiful is this bath? Baptism is the work of God Himself. Baptism is an exorcism. Baptism fills you with the Holy Spirit and faith. Baptism forgives all your sins and sets you free. Your sins are many, but they are forgiven in Christ, forgiven because of Christ, washed away in the font, so that you might be a new creation in Christ. Baptism is no nostalgic event. It is no trite rite. It is no laughing matter. Baptism is the very tip of the spear that drives out the devil and all demons from you. Christ is constantly setting men free from their bondage in water and the Word. Still, the devil rules this fallen world. Still, he hates you, for you belong to Christ. Still, you belong to Christ. He is the one who rescued you. He is the one who set you free. And if the Son has set you free, then you are free indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.